copyrighted recording is licensed by Major League Baseball. Any reproduction or other commercial use of this recording in whole or part is prohibited. This is Ken Coleman speaking. We present for you another complete game from the Miley Collection. Hope that you enjoy.
This is the NBC Radio Network.
I'm about to put on a long playing bus of Saratoga Vichy. Listen. Saratoga Vichy, carbonation from nature, the same place it gets its singular taste. I can't imagine how nature goes about carbonating it. The whole process takes some rocky enclave deep below the earth. At any rate, when it comes above ground, Saratoga Vichy has a quite unique carbonation. Subdued, but persistent. It keeps a drink perking merrily far longer than any man-made carbonation. It also keeps fresh tasting. But you'd have to try it to understand what that means. In fact, if you'd really like to unravel the secret of Saratoga's appeal, there's only one thing to do. Pour yourself a glass and get to the bottom of it. Saratoga, the authentic behind the yellow label.
This is WGY, 810 on your radio dial, and WGFM, Schenectady.
Everybody, and a very pleasant day to you, wherever you may be. The Scully, along with Bob Prince, welcoming you to Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland, and the 1966 World Series. Brought by
Chrysler Corporation, makers of Chrysler Plymouth, by the world's best-seller, Gillette Right Guard, Camel Filters, the filter cigarette that was born rich, and by Cutting Black Label. Why not enjoy one right now?
Well, it's like an echo of the first game. The starting pitchers, Dave McNally and Don Drysdale, the six umpires meeting at home plate, change of lineup cards between Captain Maury Wills of the Dodgers and the manager, Hank Bauer, of the Baltimore Orioles. For the Dodgers, down and one to go, only the wrong way. And for Baltimore, the day they are hoping for is here. Dave, loosening up to Charlie Lau off to the left, had a bad start, you remember, as he was very wild at Dodger Stadium, worked only two and the third innings, walked five men, gave up two runs, and had to come out. However, McNally's performance, as it lacked luster, was suddenly turned into a bright day more with a tremendous performance by Mo Drabowski, who, although he was not ready for the last two games, is now ready today, if needed, to pick up. For the Dodgers, a do-or-die effort by Don Drysdale. Drysdale, you remember, in his first inning of World Series competition against Baltimore, gave up a walk to Russ Snyder and back-to-back home runs by Frank Robinson and Brooks Robinson. Drysdale has had men spoiled this year because of home runs, and the home run, the World Series, and the name Drysdale have gone together for this reason. Drysdale has allowed seven home runs in World Series competition. The record is eight. And the first man to win against Don Drysdale in the World Series, Hank Bauer, the manager of the Baltimore Orioles. Drysdale, of course, well aware of the pressure that is on his shoulders, but he had to pitch some very big games at the end of the 1966 season and won all of them. And for the first time did he lose, and that was the game in the World Series. The weatherman has come up with a beautiful day, another bright sunshine in Baltimore, and another capacity crowd. The crowds for the series, we had 55,941 for the first game, 55,947 for the second. Yesterday, the largest crowd ever to see a baseball game or 54,445, and a crowd somewhere around that to see this one today. If the series is prolonged, if the Dodgers can win today, why, they'll be after each other again tomorrow. If not, the 1966 ball season will be brought to a close. The Dodgers had to win some pretty big ball games, and most of them were played at home. And Bob Prince, your Pittsburgh Pirates, when they came to Dodger Stadium in a must series, and the Dodgers won the first three, and I can imagine that the Pirates felt that it was a rather tough club under pressure.
Yes, and they have often remarked that manager Harry Walker, who was in town covering the series, Ben, and I don't understand their play in the first three games against Baltimore, they never played that way against us. The Dodgers got more mileage out of bloop hits, walks, infield singles, bunts, running bunts than anybody we ever saw. That is, from the Pittsburgh Pirates side. So those of the National League who had it with the Dodgers know full well that while they are down, they are far from out. And I would feel the thinking on the part of the Dodgers is now, Big D, as he's known, must come on to keep them in the series and then expect that tomorrow Mr. Koufax will hum up another great one, which has been the story of ball club. So a lot goes today on this one, no question about it.
For Don Drysdale, who would be in excellent shape despite the fact 500 during the regular season, Drysdale, a fastball pitcher, but not the fastball pitcher of yore. He does not intimidate hitters as he did 10 years ago, 8 years ago, even as late as 2 years ago. Don, prior to this World Series, averaged a strikeout an inning. That is not the Drysdale that we saw in the first game of the series, and it does not figure to be the Drysdale that we will see today. In one of Don's more important starts against the St. Louis Cardinals in St. Louis, in fact, it was his next to the last regular season, he went 9 strong innings and struck out but one. And that more or less has been the difference in Drysdale this year than in years gone. He is not up there among the strikeout leaders. Oddly enough, the Baltimore Oriole pitching, which if not underrated, was certainly overshadowed by the Baltimore power, has been piling up the strikeouts. If you care for any stats at all, the composite is 21 Dodgers have been left on base. The Orioles have left 16. The Orioles have been able to hit with men on. The Dodgers have left them there. And, of course, there have been a couple of big plays in the series. Bob, despite the fact it has been all Baltimore, just going back to McNally's first game, remember the second inning with runners at first and second and the pitch that hit Rivero's bat. That might very well have been one of the big plays of the series.
No question about that. And also, in addition to that, as I recall and look back on, had homered, and then Parker had doubled into the gap, and Gilliam drew a base on balls. Then right after, McNally hit Roseboro's bat, which, without question, a wild pitch on ball three. Parker would have scored. Gilliam would have gone conceivably to second, maybe to third. Roseboro then hit a grind drive into right field in which young Snyder made a fantastic play. And right there, perhaps, was the very point of this World Series, because there's no question but what the Dodgers would have been back in the ballgame and with a big vengeance. And yesterday, they have the misfortune to see the ball hit by Parker again go over the right center fence, and holding to a book rule double instead of the triple, and fly ball sent out by Willie Davis would have given him the run. So it looks as though the breaks that the Dodgers have been looking for and got sometimes throughout the season and took advantage of it have not come their way thus far in this series.
We only bring up these so-called breaks, and you can put quotes to illustrate the fact that despite it is an overwhelming Baltimore series, they have won all three games. Yet there have been a couple of plays whereby, had they gone the other way, it might very well have won one or maybe even two of the three. So they go into the fourth game with Baltimore's Dave McNally loosening. Dave going 2 1/3 innings in his first venture, and Don Drysdale, who went only 2 innings his first time out and was charged with the back-to-back home runs and 4 runs. In the background, the Dodgers starting lineup being introduced to the crowd. Neither club has made any changes. That is to say, Hank Bauer goes with the ball club that he has used all year against right-handers, and in this, that means Russ Snyder in center field. And for the Dodgers, they're going with the same lineup that they have used all year against left-handers, with the of John Kennedy at third base. The roar in the background for the Baltimore Orioles as they are being introduced, as the Dodgers have already lined up in their road gray from first base towards home plate. And the manager and one of the great fellows in the game, Hank Bauer, trotting out to third base, and from there on the Birds will line up towards home plate. The vice president of the United States, Hubert Humphreys, here with us today. And 54,000 rabid folks sitting in the sunshine and waiting the start of the fourth game of the World Series. The Dodgers go into this game with a scoreless streak. Remember, they have not scored against Baltimore pitching in the last 24 innings. That would be the first game when Gilliam walked with the bases loaded. Now, the World Series record for consecutive scoreless innings is 28 by the New York Giants for Philadelphia A's, and you have to go back 60 years for that record, 1905. The Giant pitchers ended the series by pitching three shutouts in a row. That was the series record, and they won 4 out of 5 from the A's. The great pitcher of the Giants back in 05 were Christy Mathewson, Joe McGinnity, and Christy Mathewson again. A couple of other notes as far as the Dodgers' inability to pile up any runs or any offensive against Baltimore pitching. The record for the fewest runs by one team in a World Series is 3 by the Athletics against the Giants in that 05 World Series. The record for fewest runs by one club in a 4-game series, 4 by the Yankees against the Dodgers in 1963, which brings up the point that the last time one club was able to sweep a World Series from another would be the Los Angeles Dodgers of 19 when they swept 4 straight from the New York Yankees. There have been 9 sweeps in the series and 2 others which went 5 games and were decided by 4-0 plus a tie. The umpires, John Rice of the American League, played umpire. We'll get to the other umpires in a moment, but right now, the large crowd standing for national anthem.
Rendering honors to the flag will be a special detachment of U.S. police from Fort Meade, Maryland. Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
Seconds away, and to bring you the play-by-play, the voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates, here's Bob Prince.
Thank you very much, Vin Scully, and hello again, everybody. Beautiful sunshiny day, as you know by now, and the Dodger lineup is as at shortstop, leading it off, Maury Wills. Batting in the number 2 position, playing center field, Willie Davis. In right field, third, Lou Johnson. The left fielder is Tommy Davis, batting in the cleanup spot. Jim LaFever will play at second base and back in the number 6 spot. First baseman, Wes Parker. Batting 7, catching the net, is Johnny Roseboro. And batting 8, John Kennedy playing at third with Big Don Drysdale. 1-1 in the series underway. The Vice President of the United States, Honorable Hubert Humphrey, just tossed out the first ball, and the Orioles take the field. Defensively in a moment, Aparicio at short, Schneider in center field, Robinson, Frank Robinson in right. Brooks Robinson at third. Boog Powell at first base. Kirk Bowie in left. Johnson, Dave Johnson will be the second baseman. Andy Adam catching, and on the mound, young McNally, who, as you know, has been told you earlier, appeared in game one, pitched two and a third innings, allowing two runs on hit, struck out one and walked five. He's a left-hander. Rather significantly, when McNally was pitching and walking all of the Dodger batters in the inning in which he was having all kinds of trouble, the third, on the Dodger message board, they welcomed the visit to Dodger Stadium of the astronauts and made the remark that one of the astronauts was the first man to walk in outer space, and the press box wag came up with the usual remark, McNally must have been on. This is the 28th year Gillette has sponsored the World Series broadcasts, and the 20th year Gillette has sponsored the World Series on television. There are humorous quotes and bits that attend a World Series, and one of them, of course, occurred in Dodger Stadium again when somebody asked Frank Robinson how he hit Sandy Koufax, and Frank very quickly replied, right-handed. So those are the things that come about in Fall Classic, and we're set to go now, and McNally with Etchever and his battery mate. Robinson is at third, Aparicio at short, Jim Powell at first, Bleffery in left field, Snyder in center, Frank Robinson in right. Preston Gomez coaching for the Dodgers at third, Danny Ozark at first. Plate umpire is John Rice of the American League. McNally goes to switch batting Wills, who's one for 10 years. Third baseman Brooks Robinson up tight. The outfield is not deep. First pitch is swung on and popped into shallow short. Johnson and Aparicio giving it chase. Coming up for it also, Snyder. Dave Johnson, the second baseman, and that time converging on the ball, Aparicio, Johnson, Robinson, and Snyder. That shows you how shallow the Oriole outfielders were playing to begin with, when they could all get there and any one of them could have caught it. Center fielder Willie Davis in, a left-hand batter, 1 for 12 in the series. The outfielder swung around to the right on him. 309 down both lines, 410 straight away. 380 to left center, right center. McNally's ball is bunted foul behind the plate, strike one. Rounding out this excellent crew of umpires with John Rice behind the plate is Mel Steiner of the National League at first, Cal Drummond of the American League at second, Husky of the National League at third, Nestor Shylock down the left field line of the American League, and Chris Pelikoutis in right from the National League. 0-1 to Willie Davis. Fastball hit foul to the left side, out of play. Strike two. The on-deck batter, right fielder Lou Johnson, whom, as Ben has told you on occasion, will swing right or left depending on the insertion of Tommy Davis in the lineup. Tommy always plays left field, and Lou then moves from left to right. No balls, two strikes, one out, none on, steps out. Time called immediately. The Dodgers approach this one knowing full well that, like a dying man needs his breath, there is nothing after tomorrow unless they win today. No balls, two strikes. Looped back, and it's out of play. Etchebarren giving it a long, hard chase. Into the seats about 40 rows. It's always been a source of amazement to many who observe the game of baseball how an outfielder can turn at the crack of a bat and run a ball down and then fruitlessly chase it back on one that they know is never going to be catchable except by a fan. Bird Powell, unassisted put out. 2-0. As Ben told you now on the pregame get together, 24 scoreless innings. And should Baltimore put four more against the Dodgers here today, they'll tie a record. Good way about that if and when it approaches. Here is the right fielder, Lou Johnson, 3 for 11 in the series. They play him as a pull hitter. McNally, the left-hander, comes in ball at the belt for a call strike, and Lou doesn't like it. Tommy Davis, the on-deck batter. There is no winter here today. Two down in the top of the first, no score. The pitch, a let-up delivery, hit foul over by the Oriole dugout along third. 0-2, so McNally's out in front. McNally in the first game walked Maury Wills, and he promptly stole second base. But then he got out of the inning. But then LeFevre, right-hand batting at that time, homered. And McNally has worst troubles right there. Here's the 0-2 pitch. High pop foul. This one's off to the right. Maybe player comes over near the base of the railing, leans in and gets it. So it turns out three up and three down. And we go in the bottom half of the first inning, and it is Los Angeles nothing, Baltimore nothing.
Plymouth is out to win you over this year. Is out to win you over this year. Follow your Plymouth dealer today.
This is Edie Gourmet for your Plymouth dealer. He's out to win you over for 67 with the most series ever. A new supercar, the Belvedere GTS. Beautiful all-new Valiance. Your Plymouth dealer's all heart.
Plymouth is out to win you over this year. Oh, see your Plymouth dealer today.
The Elegant Furies, all new Valiance and sports bred Belvederes now at your Plymouth dealers. He's got what it takes to win you over. Dodgers now go to the defense. John Kennedy at third, Maury Wills at short, Jim LeFevre at second, Wes Parker at first, Tommy Davis, Willie Davis, Johnson in the outfield, Drysdale and Roseboro the battery. Billy Hunter coaching third and Gene Woodling at first. And the leadoff batter, Luis Aparicio, the shortstop, 3 in the series, has 2 runs batted in the series. Big Don comes in with a fastball, picks up the outside corner, strike call. They're straight away in the outfield to Aparicio. In fact, Johnson and Davis pinch in a little bit on Willie Davis, giving him some of... No score as Baltimore now bats in the bottom of their first. Aparicio, Snyder, and Robinson. The 0-1, Don Drysdale's a let-up. Punch foul. And if you heard me stop, guys, I can steal them better than I can stop them with my mouth. That one likely got the old gunner. Strike two. Foul came right back. Sir, I wasn't going to try to catch it. No balls, 2 strikes. That's the closest we've had one here in a series. So, 0-2 to Aparicio. Fouled him straight back on a fastball. Don Drysdale, you will remember, pitched 2 innings for 4 runs and 4 hits in the first game, October the 5th. Nothing in 2 to count. Drysdale comes back with a fastball that's popped up. And Johnny Roseboro flips off the mask in foul territory to the right of home plate, accepts the charge. That'll bring up Russ Snyder, the center fielder, who plays there when a right-hander's going. He's 1-for-3 in the series and has 1 run batted in. You recall now, failure of Pittsburgh to defeat the Giants in the final game of 1966. Necessitated then the pitching of Koufax in the second game, which then brought about a man by the name of Drysdale in the first game who was not rested. A curveball down, ball one. But that's all in the realm of what might have been. Prognosticate as you will. Tam batting Snyder, the outfield swings just a little right on him, not too much. A gap in left center field, and Kennedy's up tight at the fastball, and he bunts it. Might have been hit by his own pitch. He batted the ball on a bunting play out in front of the plate and ran into it on a fair batted ball. The catcher was out. So Roseboro gets the put out. Hit by his fair batted ball or running into it, either way. And the out is made and Roseboro gets the put out unassisted. 2 down fielder Frank Robinson in. 1 homer and 2 runs batted in. And it was he who homered against Drysdale in the first inning. So with 2 away and no score, we're in the bottom of the first here in Baltimore. Drysdale's delivery hit high in the air into shallow left. Tommy Davis drifting over. Coming over by the warning, 300-some-odd feet away to make the catch. It sounded as though Frank Robinson hit that ball out on the end of the bat. Three up and three down at the end of one. Lost nothing, Baltimore nothing.
A great new filter cigarette is born. Born with the name Camel. New Camel filters.
New Camel filters. Born rich.
New Camel filters. This is the one born rich. In taste. With that big Camel head start on flavor. Now that great Camel heritage of real comes to you in a great new filter cigarette. No other can compare in flavor. No other can compare in quality to new Camel filters. It's the one you'll want to try.
Try Camel filters, the one born rich.
Ben Scully, along with Bob Prince from a stadium in Baltimore, no runs, no hits, and no errors at the end of one inning for each side. Both starting pitchers doing a lot better than last time out. McNally Wills and he stole second four games ago. And, of course, Drysdale gave up two home runs in the first inning, the first shot against Baltimore. No score into the second inning and back to Bob.
Tommy Davis will lead it off. He's the left fielder batting in the cleanup position. McNally, the left, ready to go. First pitch comes in, fastball, makes him button hook to get out of the way as it was inside. One ball and no strikes. Tommy Davis played right pull hitter. Aparicio back near the edge of the outfield grass. Robinson wide of third and rather deep. His next pitch is lined for right center field. Running for it fast, Frank Robinson, and he'll make the catch. And then at the risk of sounding as though it's strictly a partisan National League, Sadgers have not been able to find a hole at the right time on line drives.
No, and Frank Robinson got a fine jump on the ball. He was running full tilt just about as soon as it left the bat. Great outfielding play, and he made it look easy.
Jim LaFever, the second baseman, he's 1-for-10 in the series, a switch. Off-speed delivery, down below the knees, ball one. Beautiful sunshiny day in historic Baltimore. One ball, no strike. Let up is pulled foul, and because of the let up, he got way around on it. One ball, one strike. They have some very book rules and ground rules here at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore, and we shan't get into them and hope that we shan't have to explain any one of them. They have all sorts of things that could happen in this stadium. And, of course, they're well covered by rules. 1-1. Up under the chin there. Two balls and a strike. A little chin music. Two balls and a... No score. One out, none on. Here's the pitch. And he's way outside with it. Ball three. Three and on. LaFever now will look down to third. To Coach Preston. The Dodgers, without question, will pull anything in the book in this one. They have to. 3-1 delivery is up high. He walked them. That is the first walk given up by McNally, his sixth in the series, and brings Wes Parker. Switch batting first baseman, batting in the number six spot, has 3-for-10. It was his double yesterday on the book rule that bounced into the right center seats that denied him a triple and a Dodger run, as it turns out, for Willie Davis, then the ensuing batter. Sufficiently deep that Parker would have scored. So they're going to play a little bit around to the left on Parker. McNally checks LaFever. The pitch is in there for a strike. Tommy Davis lined a rope into right field, hauled in by Robinson to lead off this to die second. And now LaFever has walked. There is no scores yet. And Wes Parker, no balls, one strike, the batter. Again, McNally checks LaFever and the pitch. There's a high chopper, hit slowly toward shortstop. Aparicio gets it on for one. They'll not get Parker. The high bouncing ball, slowly hit, denied the Fine inner defenses of Baltimore, the chance to make the double play. So the out will go short to second. Weaver. And no play at all on Parker. That'll bring up catcher John Roseboro, who's 1-for-11 in the series. And now in the Dodgers second inning, no score. And the runner Parker. They play him about straight away. Long high fly ball into right field. Appears to be getting under without any trouble. Gauging up against the sky, makes the catch, but retires the side. So far, the Dodgers in the second, no runs, no hits, no Baltimore error, and a strand one. And we go to the bottom of the second. Los Angeles nothing, Baltimore nothing. You know, the World Series marks the end of baseball action for the year, but football is shifting into high gear. And if you'd like first-rate seats for the top games and for less than 50 cents a game, I have a suggestion. Get Motorola Singular Color Television. You see, Motorola Color Television costs as little as 15 cents a viewing hour. Now, that's less than 50 cents a game, based on the price of a table and three-year contract. You get Motorola solid-state reliability at 17 critical points, numbered controls for easy color tuning, and the big, bright, rectangular picture pioneered by Motorola. This year, see football in color and enjoy it more. You'll also get a bigger kick out of your favorite nighttime shows because they're in color, too. See your Motorola dealer and discover how you can have television for as little as 15 cents a viewing hour with Motorola. Now introducing the new flight of color TV. Second inning, this game is scoreless. Neither side has had a hit. And standing in will be third baseman Brooks Robinson, who is 2-for-11. Plate umpire John Rice is asking that something be, a chair be removed to the lower left side of the Dodger dugout because it would be actually in the field of play. Drysdale working now to right-hand batting. Swing and a miss. He started him off with a changeup. 0-1. Robinson, you'll recall, backed up Frank Robinson's homer against Drysdale in one, which tied a series record. Here's the 0-1. There's a ball hit up them, and Brooks Robinson is on with a base hit. Brooks Robinson took a fastball knee high and went with it. Powell is stepping in. He's 4-for-11 in the series, a left-hand batter. And if you might sound as though he were being booed, that is not true. They're just going boog and drawing it out, much as they used to do with Brzezinski in Cincinnati or with Moose Scourin when with the Yankees. Ball tailed away that time outside ball one. So the first of game four goes to Baltimore's Brooks Robinson. Boog Powell, one ball, no strikes. The outfield deep and around to the right. Short lead at first by Brooks. The pitch in there beautifully on the outside corners. That ball moved away from the big fella, 1-1. They used to play a lot in the outfield and first base, but they settled him down to first base as it better suited their plans, and he has been a very fine first baseman for Baltimore. One ball, one strike. Foul back. Good fastball, and Boog just got a pin in two. Drysdale went through the first inning, getting the Orioles out in 1-2-3 fashion and in quick order. Then Brooks Robinson swung and missed a change curve, but laced a fastball up the middle for a single. So he's the runner at first down, and the batter Boog Powell, a ball and two-strike count. Drysdale checks at first base. Brings it in there. Nine foul down the left field line. Deep into the lower deck. 1-2. When I see Boog Powell up there, I really have a vision of a former huge first baseman by the name of John Mize.
One ball, two strikes. Drell comes in with a fastball that's up high, 2-2. Big Don, of course, would like to get Powell to hit the ball on the ground and preferably right near somebody so they could double play. Ball two, strike two. Powell isn't going to set any world speed records in running. But an awful lot of times he just trots. Strike. Drysdale checking for the sign from Roseboro. Characteristic pose, the way he looks in. Now Don on the 2-2 brings a curveball in. He stuck him out swinging. Him a little bit off that breaking ball. And Big Don picks up his first strikeout. And now, left fielder Kurt Bleffery, a left-hand batter, will get in. There is no score. One down in the Baltimore second inning. The runner at first, Brooks Robinson. A left-hand batter, 1-for-11 in the series. The outfield over shifting on him. To the right, they gap him in left center, and Tommy Davis gives him about the left field line. Reminding you now, 309 down both lines, 410 straight away with an inner wall involved. Drysdale now to the set position. Check at first and goes over there, and a quick tag by damage as Brooks Robinson dives back in headlong. Stepping out for a moment. They'll always question whether he's out of the batter's box or not. He stands very deep in it. Here's the pitch, and this one is a curveball inside, low, ball one. Many the umpires will take and erase the chalk line out. It's a lime, and they don't want throwing balls into the dirt, kicking that lime up into their face. It doesn't take them long to eradicate the lime. One ball and no strikes. Brooks Robinson opening with a single, remaining there on a strikeout to Boog Powell. Again, Drysdale from the belt. Comes in with a fastball, and it's pumped foul or deck off third. First inning went very quickly. Three up, three down, no score there. The Dodgers had just a mile threat going when Lefevre... But he was out on a force play, so actually nothing happened there in the Dodgers' second, and they're still looking for a hit and run. Robinson at first on the single, one out, no score in the ball. One ball, one strike, and a throw to first, and Brooks is back. Drysdale has a very quick move over to first. One and one. Pitch to Bleffery, gets it foul behind the plate, one and two. Vin said earlier, the weatherman has certainly blessed with an ideal, beautiful day here in the city of Baltimore, where another jam-packed audience on hand, including the Vice President of States, who threw out the first ball. One ball, two strikes. Vice President, be it known, however, basically Minnesota Twin fan. One ball, two strikes. The pitch, say hi, 2-2. Johnny Roseboro is probably the most quiet of all the catchers, but is one of the most durable of all the catchers, and I have yet to talk to any baseball player that's ever slid into him who didn't say somebody always got hurt, but it was never Roseboro. Two balls, two strikes. High foul coming back out of play, 2-2. There was a time when I thought Roseboro might tragically have been injured when one of his present teammates, Dick Stewart, was batting and hammered a foul ball that came right off the bat and went right in between the face bars of Johnny's mask and struck him between the eyes. Luckily, it didn't injure him, and he was able to remain in the game, but it came awfully close to being very injurious. Two balls, two strikes. Dale checking. Sends it just low, ball three. Now we'll watch Brooks Robinson for you. Three balls, two strikes. Robinson, the runner at first. One out, no score in the Baltimore second inning. So Don Drysdale has his first 3-2 count in the game. is hollered in behind his glove, something to LeFevre. Setting themselves up for how they'll cover if they have to. Drysdale checks it first. And it's inside, ball four. So Robinson goes to second unmolested. And Bleffery draws. And that is the first hit issued to Baltimore. And the batter now is Davey Johnson, the youngster who has been a surprising hitting sensation in the series thus far. 4 for 11. A right-hand batter. So Brooks Robinson at second and Kurt Bleffery at first. Bleffery doesn't carry the high season average, but if you get him out, you get when he's hitting your stripes. There's a chopper hit down toward LeFevre. Turns, gets it on to Wills for one. On to first base, a double play. A brilliant execution by Wills as Bleffery really put a roadblock on him to get him out of there, but he got the throw away anyhow. None hit, no errors, and one left. At the end of two full innings of play, Los Angeles nothing and Baltimore nothing. So, you know, it's great to be in.
Well, which one, Bob? Baltimore or Los Angeles?
Well, right now, I mean Gillette Foamy.
Uh-oh, I might have known.
Yeah, well, you should have. The big winner in the Shave Cream League. Foamy's instant lather sets up your beard for your blade like no other shave cream you ever tried. Nobody makes a Foamy.
Oh, you mean so moist, so rich, and so creamy.
Right you are. You get together with a winner every time you shave with Foamy.
Well, nobody makes a lather like Gillette.
By George, I think you've got it.
I think I'll get it. Foamy by Gillette.
And while you're at it, bring home the right Guard. Talk about popularity. Guard Power Spray Deodorant is a 6-to-1 favorite with men. 6-to-1.
Big favorite with families, too. Right Guard is always the personal deodorant for everybody because nothing touches you but the spray itself.
Just 2 seconds gives you 24-hour protection. Lasts far longer with regular use, too.
Yes, Gillette Right Guard. So effective, it's the world's best-selling deodorant. Don't be without it. Scoreless at the end of two with one base hit. Going for Brooks Robinson. So as we go to the third for more play, let's get right back to Bob.
All right, Vin, and standing in now, that was a sparkling double play because it was a chopper hit by young Johnson, who can move getting down the line. But he turned and made a nice throw to Maury Wills, and then Mr. Bleffery came running right in, and he wasn't going to do much in the way of a slide. Kennedy takes a low delivery from McNally. Many times, you better, if you don't want to be deep Wills throwing, you had better be able to tunnel somewhere or burrow under a sack. Because he came across that bag and he let it go for that great double play. One ball to no strikes to third, leading it off for the Dodgers. Long, high fly to left, and it's got plenty of distance, but it's going to hook foul into the upper deck. Fans a little apprehensive, but from our vantage point here, there was no question but what it would be a foul ball. Bunted right through that one. One ball and two strikes. On the 1-2 to Kennedy, curveball looped out off the right side and dropping back for it. Second baseman Johnson getting that little looper.
We will be back on side 2 to continue the game.